Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live on this Friday, May 30th from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. So we are going to take a look at a couple of things today. I want to zero in on this story, this ominous story that has developed in recent days involving Friedrich Merz, the current Prime Minister of Germany, and his desire to make sure that Zelensky has a plentiful supply of German Taurus missiles. German Taurus missiles, with, depending on who you talk to, a range anywhere from 500 to 700 kilometers, absolutely perfect for reaching Moscow from Kiev. And Merz has made it very clear that that's the idea in mind in providing these missiles, as well as the German technicians to make sure that they're operated properly when they're launched. Colonel Douglas MacGregor, of course, has another idea or two about that, where he suggests that armed revolution in Europe may be the only way of stopping Merz and Starmer and Macron and company from hurtling the world into World War III. What about the United States, Colonel? We'll get back to that one shortly. We might get a second glance this week at a story that I tried to cover last week and didn't mention on the air. Couldn't do it because of airtime, which is fine. We had plenty of good callers last week. Jose Alberto Nino and his article for the UNS Review entitled Zio Populism, the New Alliance Between Israel and Europe's Nationalists. We have that one linked up for you again on the current roadmap, as well as links to last week's show. So let's get into this whole business briefly of one Friedrich Merz. And of course, you start getting into the whole question of German politics. Don't want to go down too far this road, this particular road in this broadcast. But the European globalists and elitists and LGBTQ types and Russophobes and all the rest of them have a solution to handling discontent in their respective countries. They simply ban the political parties that are gaining traction publicly with the voting population. Take a look, of course, not simply at Germany and all of the attempts to surround the Alternative for Deutschland party and to suggest that it is a treasonous party that simply is going to do Putin's bidding. No, it's a German party, a German populist party that wants no part of a globalist war that will involve Germany fighting Russia, a war that Germany cannot possibly win, nor is it a war that Germany should fight. All kinds of domestic problems in Germany, like revitalizing their economy, getting back to the kind of manufacturing capabilities that they once had, getting rid of all of these green tree huggers, getting rid of all of these people that think that it's just great to start a war that nobody seems to define in terms of German national interest with Putin. So this is where we find ourselves, both in Germany. You'll find the counterpart to all of this, certainly in Britain and in France and in Romania. No question in Romania that they solved their political problem with nationalism and populism by banning from the second election the clear winner of the first one, and by someone being elected ultimately as the Prime Minister of Romania under extremely suspicious circumstances. And of course, the Iranians could speak to that in terms of what happened in their country in 1953. It's a little more sophisticated now in terms of these situations involving European countries and elections, all kinds of ways that you can rig an election. And it really seems to me that when you again look at what is taking place throughout Europe, there is a multiple strategy involved on the part of these lunatics in keeping this war going, with using Zelensky as their proxy against Vladimir Putin's Russia, a crazy policy in and of itself. But in addition to continuing to hand Zelensky money and giving him armaments of all types, you ban political parties and make it extremely difficult for political parties that in a fair fight would find themselves presumably working their way toward the top, not the bottom of the electoral process in places like Germany and France and Britain and Romania. But such is the nature of the way that this deck is stacked. So in this regard, we're going to be taking a look, of course, at some of the particular Russian responses to Mertz's crazy idea. The Americans, it seems to me, are not very vocal about this. What does Mr. Trump think about this idea of firing German Taurus missiles into Russia and specifically targeting Moscow? Mr. Trump the other day was scolding Vladimir Putin for his latest airstrikes over Kiev and other parts of Ukraine, even in spite of the fact that there was a massive drone strike on the part of the Ukrainians against continental Russia that included Moscow, but more importantly, targeted Vladimir Putin's helicopter as he was flying to Kursk. Trump seems to have forgotten all about that. He seems not to be saying too much about the leader of Germany making these kinds of statements, which indicate that this guy is not simply a warmonger. In my judgment, he's nuts. And so we start getting into absolute psychosis. Does anyone really believe Mr. Mertz apparently does, perhaps Macron does, perhaps Starmer does, that any of them individually or collectively would be a military match for Russia, or that they should be? This is a simple lunacy, and what we find ourselves watching in the case of Mr. Trump is not only a certain type of talking out of both sides of his mouth in regard to this whole issue of Russian-Ukrainian negotiations, but on the one hand, of course, he will employ a person or two who seem to be talking some degree of sense in regard to what the American position should be in regard to a settlement between Russia and Ukraine. And then on the other hand, there's Keith Kellogg and his 22-point plan for peace. Kellogg has apparently never seen a war he didn't like, never seen an intervention that he wasn't just dying to get the United States into. And this neocon geriatric case, for him to have the position that he holds, the sensitive position in regard to advising Mr. Trump in matters Russian and Ukrainian, seems to me to be another version of the nonsense that we had in the first Trump administration, when it involved this alleged America First president who was listening to and had appointed people like John Bolton and Mike Pompeo. Now, in this regard, of course, there is a considerable amount of commentary going on in the international press from all kinds of news sources that I consult for you. And by the way, we will have this roadmap continually expanding after the show and over the weekend on all kinds of topics that we're not able to cover here for purposes of time limitation, clearly. But if you look at the commentary of a lot of people on this whole issue of Trump and what really is going on with his contradictory statements on Russia and Ukraine, it is quite obvious that what we have here with Mr. Trump is not simply another version of Mr. Trump in his first term in regard to neocons being close to him. But then we run into a whole situation where a lot of people prefer to believe that Mr. Trump is just getting bad advice. He certainly is, but he put these people there and presumably knows something about what they actually believe. Is Mr. Trump getting bad advice, or is Mr. Trump simply giving us more of the same in regard to talking America first, in regard to talking no more foreign wars, in regard to talking about a revitalization of the American domestic manufacturing economy and getting crime under control and stopping illegal immigration and sealing the American southern border with Mexico? Some of those are extremely good ideas, by the way, but his foreign policy stinks. And in this particular case, much more of the kind of thing that we've been seeing in the last couple of weeks, and we could find ourselves in a real mess, not simply with the Russian-Ukrainian war, but also in this whole business of Benjamin Netanyahu and Iran. Trump, on the one hand, we are told, is getting increasingly disenchanted with Mr. Netanyahu, at the same time that he doesn't say an awful lot about this ongoing genocide going on in Gaza that the United States is supporting. And then, of course, Mr. Trump gives us contradictory statements from time to time about this whole issue of Israel and Iran. Mike Whitney covered this last week for UNS. It's still worth taking a look at that particular story I might yet put up on this current roadmap and regarding the issues involved with the Israelis and the Iranians. In this regard, Iran was a full signatory to the JCPOA P5+1 treaty that would have settled this issue once and for all. All of these Israeli agents in the first Trump administration talked him into unilaterally withdrawing from that multilateral treaty, tearing it up and deciding to start over again. And in this particular case, Iran is allowed, fully allowed to enrich uranium according to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. We keep talking about that on this show. And yet when you look at Steve Witkoff's statements on this subject, he has gone from saying, oh yeah, they have the right to enrich, towards saying that it's a red line. Enrichment is a red line. Iran should not be allowed to enrich uranium at all. Really, Steve? The NPT gives them that right. They quite rightly insist that they're going to have that right, especially when Israel is behind what the United States is doing in these negotiations with Iran. Israel is not only a non-signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, as I mentioned on the show last week, as I've mentioned on the show many times. Take a closer look at the Meyer Lansky, David Ben-Gurion link to the Kennedy assassination in Dallas on November the 22nd, 1963. Take a look at the whole situation in Apollo, Pennsylvania, with the Israeli theft of nuclear raw materials from the American NUMEC plant there. And you will have the door open, the Pandora's box opened, as it were, in regard to the way that Israel operates, where it's heads they win, tails everyone else loses. And that includes this situation now going on in Gaza. Mr. Trump doesn't seem to be terribly bothered by all of that killing. Mr. Trump seems to think that it would be just great if we could have a complete dispossession of Gazans and Palestinians in areas that they have occupied for decades and centuries. And we could just make a nice resort out of Gaza, maybe have a Trump hotel and a gambling casino. Miriam Adelson could get in on that. Maybe we could get her out of the state of Texas with what she's trying to do here with her gambling interests and have her make a big gambling, a Las Vegas gambling operation out of Gaza. And Mr. Trump maybe could have a golf course there, some terrific hotels for rich people to stay in, all over the dead bodies of the thousands upon thousands of people, 70 to 75% of whom are women and children, who have lost their lives in what used to be termed genocide, except when Jews are involved in it, and all of a sudden that becomes self-defense. George Orwell lives. Let's go back, of course, to Friedrich Merz here. German Taurus missiles, ranges of anywhere from 500 to 700 kilometers, depending on whose analysis you talk to. And in this particular regard, Merz wants to make sure that Zelensky has his supply of these things. Now, according to Alexander Mercuris of the Duran, and I listened to his latest show last night, latest show as of last night, Mr. Mercuris has the kinds of sources where he indicates that some of these Taurus missiles are already in Ukraine. And that, of course, the German plan is to create a manufacturing capability for these Taurus missiles there in Ukraine somewhere, in order that this whole process of firing these missiles into continental Russia and aimed at the Russian capital, Moscow, can commence. This is a very interesting idea 80 years after the end of the Second World War, when we are talking about German missiles being fired into Russia. That's an absolutely brilliant idea on behalf of a nation that is not involved in the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And irrespective of that, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization is suddenly operating in all kinds of places that don't involve the North Atlantic, which is what Robert Taft warned this country about a very, very, very long time ago, when it first decided to get involved with NATO. NATO was a defensive alliance. NATO was designed only to prevent a Soviet takeover of Western Europe. NATO was based upon deterrence, not aggression. That somehow seems to have been lost in these last 30 years, with an expansion of NATO members from 12 to some 31, incorporating all kinds of previous Warsaw Pact nations. The United States said, we will never do that, and then proceeded to do it. And in this particular case, anyone who looks at a map understands that NATO is an offensive alliance, that NATO was involved in territorial encroachment ever closer to Russian borders, and now has a full-fledged surrogate war going on against Putin's Russia that involves this Jewish drag queen comedian as their surrogate. There's only one problem. They're losing this war. They've lost this war. I'll be talking about that again here shortly, just a little bit. They've already lost this war. And what Merz is now dreaming up, along with a couple of other idiots named Macron and Starmer, Merz is panicking. Boy, is he panicking, because he is proposing doing something that clearly is not only an outrageous idea, it is an offensive, not a defensive idea. It involves a country, Ukraine, that is not even a member of NATO, and it will involve German technicians in Ukraine to make sure that these missiles are fired well, and that they acquire the right targets, and that they get all of the appropriate satellite surveillance data that they need. Ukrainians aren't going to be the ones to do this. They don't have the capabilities. The Russians know they don't have the capabilities, and therefore the Russians understand, and all of their leaders that I'm quoting here in this roadmap understand, that if those missiles are used against Russia, in continental Russia, and aimed at Moscow, there's going to be a response. There will be a response on Ukraine, of course, a response on these Ukrainian missile factories that the Germans hope to construct. But last but not least, there will be a legitimate targeted attack on these German personnel in Ukraine. And you read several of these statements that are made, including those of Andrei Kartopolov, who is the chairman of the State Duma Defense Committee of Russia. The Russians will make it their business and their legitimate business to attack Germany, in the event that these missiles are used against them with a direct involvement of German military and technical personnel. You guys think that the Russians are bluffing? I don't think so. And Mr. Kellogg simply needs to be put to bed with his 22-point peace plan. And what we need is for the West to get out of this conflict, to stop arming it, to stop funding it, to stop supporting it. Let Zelensky go down the toilet. Send him off to Miami if you have to. Fine. We will be back after the break. We'll look at some of these Russian statements. Stay tuned. The Dankoff Report on RBN.
Are you really prepared? There's one critical piece most people forget. When disaster strikes, the most powerful survival tool isn't in your hands, it's in your head. But here's the hard truth. Knowledge disappears fast when the grid goes down. That's why we created the Preparedness Tablet, the first and only off-grid digital library designed specifically for survival situations. We've done the work for you. This rugged, portable tablet comes preloaded with a massive library of practical knowledge, food preservation and storage, emergency medical care, off-grid living and homesteading, security, defense, and more. It's indexed, searchable, organized, and powered by a free solar charger, so you'll never be without it. It also comes with a protective hard case, and you can upgrade it with supplemental survival files and EMP protection. Whether it's a power outage, social unrest, or a full-blown crisis, this tablet gives you instant access to skills that save lives. From treating wounds to growing food, even saving cherished family documents and photos, this preparedness tablet is your silent partner when things go sideways. You can't know it all, but you can carry it with you. Preloaded with survival knowledge, runs 100% off-grid, backup and store your own files, lightweight, portable, and solar-powered. Join thousands of Americans closing the last gap in the emergency prep. Visit our website now and get peace of mind in the palm of your hand. The preparedness tablet also makes a thoughtful and potentially life-saving gift. Invest in yourself, protect your family. Visit www.comcoms.link. That's www.comcoms.link. Be ready, be smart, be the one who plans ahead. We also offer custom portable radios that come pre-configured for your local area. Included with these versatile radios is free basic training to get you up to speed quickly on how to use your radio. Visit our website today and learn all about our unique products. Comcoms.link. comcoms.link.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Make the world go away. Say the things you used to say and make the world go away. Do you remember when you loved me before the world took me astray? If you do, then forgive me and make the world go away. Make the world go away and get off my shoulders. Say the things you used to say.
We are back. Late great Eddie Arnold singing Make the World Go Away for us. That came out in 1965. That's hard to believe that was 60 years ago. That was a part of his My World album for RCA. I remember at that time my parents were devotees of watching Johnny Carson's Tonight Show late night when he would have good people on there. And I remember the time Eddie Arnold was on that show that year promoting that record and promoting that album. That was 60 long years ago. So all kinds of things happened to us in time, by the way, that caused us to say, oh yeah, that really was that long ago. I had an interesting experience a couple nights ago. Got together with my first college roommate going all the way back to when we started at Valparaiso University. Then the premier university in the United States and all of the Lutheran Church. A lot of things have been going on at Valparaiso University in the decades since that aren't always the best. I'll let that one go for now. But Dr. Andrew P. Yox, who has a doctorate in history from the University of Chicago, as well as his master's in history from that school, quite fluent in German. He is also a very fine classical organist with a real affinity for Johann Sebastian Bach, and he studied under some incredibly top-flight people in that field back in the day and age when Valparaiso University was noted for theology, German, and music. They now have a president of that school. His first name is Jose. And he's been talking about eliminating those particular programs for reasons absolutely unknown if they're going to continue to claim any historic link with the Lutheran Church and with Lutheran theology at all. But Dr. Yox and I got together at the Menger Hotel Bar right next door to the Alamo. And, of course, that particular bar is where Teddy Roosevelt organized the Rough Riders. and that we had a few beers that were brewed in Fredericksburg, Texas, Admiral Nimitz's hometown, of course, terrific Nimitz Museum in Fredericksburg, and then, of course, the George Bush Gallery of the Pacific War is in Fredericksburg. Those are both well worth your time if you've never been in those places, and they have greatly expanded the exhibits beyond what they even were when I was in attendance in those places. I plan on going back up there sometime this summer and doing the full tour once again of everything that that they have in Fredericksburg, Texas, that pertains to the Second World War. But be that as it may, Dr. Yox and I had a great time. We tried to catch up on 50 years in 3 or 4 hours. Some of his best honors students were touring San Antonio while he was having a few brews with me, and I didn't get a chance to meet any of these kids. I had all kinds of lies prepared for them in terms of the kinds of things that that their mentor was doing when he and I were young. He wasn't like that at all, but I was... I was planning on slandering him before all of these young ladies that were part of his honors group, but I think he understood that he would be leaving himself open to something like that if he introduced me to these kids. So at any rate, that's where we'll leave that. But that was an enjoyable time and caused me to reflect a great deal on the last 50 some odd years of my life. As I now approach 70 this July, continue to find myself going to Gold's Gym and lifting a few Mickey Mouse weights and the aerobic exercise and the treadmill, sound, sane aerobic exercise, is what I've tried to do 3 or 4 times a week anyway, in addition to handling all of my other things that come across my tray from time to time. So, at any rate, salutes to Dr. Andrew P. Yox of the North Texas State Community College in Mount Pleasant, where he directs their honors program and does a terrific job of doing so. He has 2 more years, I believe he told me, before he finally retires from that post. I'm going to try and get up there at some point when I have to go to Dallas on business and check up on North Texas. I think it's North Texas Community College or North Texas State Community College, and see exactly what does go on there. Eddie Arnold is telling me we're on the short break here. We'll be back with the Russian response to Friedrich Merz in just a second on the Dankoff Report on RBN Live, coming to you from San Antonio, Texas.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
John Moore, the Liberty Man, on RBN from 7 to 10. Highly qualified guests, Monday through Friday. We talk about a range of topics, day to day, helping you find your way through the chaos in store. John Moore, the Liberty Man, his website is second to none. Visit thelibertyman.com. Remember John Moore, from 7 to 10 and tune in. John Moore, the Liberty Man.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Wayne has to say.
Extendivite. I have been taking it for about 2 years, and I had really bad heart palpitations. And since I've been taking it, I don't have any major episodes at all anymore. I'm 76 years old, and I still play competitive basketball. Well, of course, I've taken care of myself really good since I was 60, but Extendivite really helped the blood pressure. really helped. I used to get really bad episodes of heart palpitations, just skipping beats and double beats. But also I wanted to tell you that I really appreciate your broadcast. Really refreshing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Get more tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get more tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get more tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine. Reduce your emissions and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
I can't hold it on the road when you're sitting right beside me, and I'm drunk out of my mind merely from the fact that you are here. And I have not been known as the saint of San Joaquin, and I'd just as soon right now pull on over to this side of the road and show you what I mean. La da 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 da. La da 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 da. July, you're a woman more than anyone I've ever known. And I can't hold my eyes on the white line out before me when your hand is on my collar and you're talking in my ear.
We are back. You are listening to the Dan Koff Report on this Friday, May 30th, 2025. We began at 1 p.m. Central Time. It is now 1:34 and 22 seconds Central Time. I'm going to bring Vinny from Indiana up in just a second. I want to run through, before I bring him up, the summation of these Russian responses to the absolute lunacy of Friedrich Merz of Germany. I mean, this guy is a psycho, folks. This guy is absolutely nuts. He would have been just what we would have needed during the Cuban Missile Crisis in October of 1962 to ensure that none of us would be living to be doing this show or listening to it. But at any rate, here we go. Dmitry Medvedev, the only real bad thing is World War III, Trump. I hope Trump understands this. Medvedev warns Trump in response to Trump's claim that Putin is, quote-unquote, playing with fire. We hope you are listening, Mr. President. Sergey Lavrov from Intel Republic. Germany is now funding missile production inside Ukraine with no range limits and no pretense. Russia's Foreign Minister Lavrov calls it direct war involvement. He not only calls it that, folks, that's what it is. Adding that Germany is going down the same road that already led to their collapse twice in caps in the last century. Sergei Shoigu, Russian security chief, reacts to German missile claims. This is from RT. Then there's Andrei Kartopolov. We have already mentioned him. We'll go through it again. Russia prepared to strike Germany if Taurus missiles are used. Ukraine cannot operate the long-range missile without German assistance, Andrei Kartopolov has said. Russia could authorize strikes on German territory if Ukraine uses German-supplied Taurus cruise missiles to attack Russian targets, a senior Russian lawmaker has warned. Andrei Kartopolov, chairman of the State Duma Defense Committee and a former deputy defense minister, said the long-range missiles require direct German military involvement to operate, making Berlin a potential participant in any such attack. That one, of course, comes to us from RT. Here's another one from Intel Republic that also quotes Andrei Kartopolov, quote-unquote, Russia is ready to shoot down German Taurus missiles and strike not just the launch sites, but the places they came from. Think about that one for a minute, folks. And then New Rules has a very, very good article here before I bring Vinny up from Indiana. Germany's highway to hell. Friedrich Merz is a crazed warmonger. And that's being kind, that headline. This pro-Ukraine fanatic, says New Rules, is pushing Germany toward direct war with Russia, and the consequences will be catastrophic. Merz just admitted Germany is lifting, quote-unquote, all restrictions on long-range weapons for Ukraine. This likely means Taurus missiles with a range of 500 kilometers are coming. But here's the catch. And, of course, Kartopolov has already mentioned this in regard to these previous articles. Here's the catch. Ukraine can't operate Taurus without German hands-on support. That means military personnel directing the strikes, intel guiding missiles, weapons hitting Russian soil. Even Olaf Scholz, says New Rules, a Biden puppet, knew this was an act of war. Yet Merz is charging ahead like a suicidal gambler. There's no gambling here, Mr. Merz. You're going to get your butt kicked, along with the rest of Europe and possibly the United States, if you undertake this. How Russia can retaliate? One, annihilate Ukraine's infrastructure and decapitation strikes on the leadership. Two, sabotage Baltic Sea cables, Kilo-class subs, underwater drones. German banks, internet, and government communications crippled. Three, sink a German frigate, caliber missiles, and stealth torpedoes. Four, a direct strike on Germany. Hey, that'd be wonderful. Taurus factories, Ramstein via Iskander, Kinzhal, and Oreshnik. Remember the Oreshniks? Those wonderful missiles that can have nukes on them, nuclear tips on them, if needed, at Mach 10 speed? We just asked the Russians, show some restraint and leave the breweries intact. Leave a few of the heterosexual bars intact. Smoke everything else. That's my position on this. Bottom line, Merz is playing with fire. Merz is playing with fire, not Vladimir Putin. Merz is playing with fire. Germany cannot win a direct fight with Russia. And my editorial remark is, neither can the United States. If he provokes Moscow, says New Rules, Germany will burn. Take that seriously, folks. Here's a great op-ed piece from Tariq Cyril Amar for Russia Today. How to start a war with Russia in these easy steps? Just ask Merz's Germany. This guy has heavyweight credentials. By the way, I read this guy every week. If you've not had the opportunity to peruse any of his very thoughtful op-eds, here's your chance. It's on the roadmap. South Front weighs in. Germany's Taurus gamble. Symbolic escalation or real threat to Russia? And then, of course, there's the Russian-Ukrainian war itself. Folks, all you have to do is read one or two articles in the foreign press that is at all honest. Ukraine and Zelensky and this NATO surrogate war are finished. The Ukrainian front line is crumbling. The entire 1,200-kilometer-long line of conflict. The Russians are intensifying their offensive. They are expanding rapidly in the Sumy Oblast buffer zone. Ukrainian forces are crumbling in the Sumy and Pokrovsk regions, forcing Kiev to pull reserves from critical sectors. Keep an eye on such things as Chasiv Yar, right? Indications that perhaps it's already fallen. You start looking at the whole business of the Slaviansk-Kramatorsk salient that will fall, given two or three other things that are yet to happen, but will happen. Ukraine is being encircled. You have a destabilized Kharkiv front. You have pressure on Western Donbass. The Russians are constantly expanding slowly but surely the 1,200-kilometer line of contact to the west. And that doesn't even begin to get into the whole question of airstrikes. Folks, airstrikes, airstrikes, airstrikes. Massive numbers of Russian drones. The Russians, of course, have their long-range bombers, including the Tu-95, if necessary, to drop all kinds of fab bombs, ranging from the 3,500-kilo variety to the 500-kilo variety. And then, of course, we get back to what we've already talked about in an earlier point in this show, and that is these incredible hypersonic missiles, including the latest version, the Oreshnik, which we've already mentioned. They are mass-producing these, I understand, from listening to Mercurius' show a night or two ago. And that mass production, I believe, is going to dovetail with a planned, massive, coming Russian conventional offensive. Watch the Zaporozhye region, watch the Kherson region, watch the Kharkiv region, watch the Sumy Oblast. This thing is coming, and it's going to involve, when the time is right, hundreds of thousands of Russian conventional troops. What do you think is going to precede that invasion? Incredible amounts of 155-millimeter artillery ammunition, presumably blasting away at the Ukrainians on the other side. That'll be followed by the full range of airstrikes that I've just mentioned. And then you will see the big-ticket offensive that we have been waiting for once Russia decided they had to fight, once they decided that this whole business of Minsk negotiations was a fraud, once they decided that this Istanbul negotiation of March of 2022 was a fraud, once they decided that they were just going to have to finish this thing, they're going to finish it. And getting back to that graphic that I put on your roadmap during the break, take a look at what Medvedev says could well be the final borders of settlement and the so-called buffer zone between Ukraine and points west. Ukraine will cease to exist. You look at what Medvedev is showing in terms of that graphic. We've got it on your roadmap to actually link up to the 13-second video, or you can see the still photo that I posted. Ukraine is finished. General Kellogg can take his 22-point plan and go make some cornflakes someplace. He's a joke, and so is this entire American position in this negotiation. The United States and the EU started this. The United States and the EU can't finish it. And it's about time that the United States gets out of anything that involves supporting what the EU is doing as it pertains to Russia and as it pertains to Vladimir Putin. Simply pull the plug on Zelensky and this entire operation in Ukraine that the United States and the EU and NATO started after the illegal coup d'etat of February of 2022, and this whole thing will magically cease to be. That's my solution for this. And I think if Mr. Medvedev had the time to be on my show, which is a laugh, he's got better things, more important things to do than to talk to me. Nonetheless, if he could be on the show, I think he would say, yeah, that's exactly what we need to do, and the problem is over. Well, I have some other things for you on the roadmap that will come up. Over the weekend, is Serbia really arming Zelensky? We'll have some posts on Gaza and Israel, Israel and Iran, American politics, American quote-unquote culture, books, history, and music. But let's see if Vinny is still on the line from Indiana. Vinny, you there?
Hello, Mark.
Go ahead.
Hello, Mark. Yeah, you know, as far as the Taurus missiles are concerned, what value would they have as, you know, they don't have any strategic value. They're not going to stop Russia's war machine. The only value is that they could supposedly strike far enough into Russia where they might be able to, you know, they have this fantasy that they could decapitate Russia's political leadership. I mean, they just this week launched a massive drone strike in the proximity of where Putin was on the ground, where his helicopter landed.
Yeah, and Kursk.
You know, that
yeah.
was like, yeah, yeah, and that was like a potential political assassination. And like what McGregor and Daniel Davis said, there's no way that this could have occurred without U.S. military help. So MI6, the CIA, Mossad, our military is out to assassinate Putin, which is an insane idea, which is, I guess, and it's illegal. And, you know,
it's illegal, it's immoral, it's insane. And as you point out, in terms of insanity, it will lead to a full-blown Third World War, it seemed to me. I mean, let's ask the American people this. Let's ask the German people this. If Putin assassinated Merz, what would happen? Well, probably at least half the German public would celebrate in a pub somewhere that night. I don't know. But if Putin was behind an assassination of an American president, where do you think that would end, right? It would start and end with World War III, and presumably Trump is at least smart enough to realize that the United States has no business doing that. Let's hope he's that bright after what he did with the Soleimani assassination 5 years ago. But nonetheless, this is what it is, and to me, and I think you're reacting to this the same way that I am, in the way that New Rules is, this guy Merz is crazy. This guy is a nut. And in this particular case, just looking at the whole insanity that this represents, I am just incredulous that there has not been, not only with the German public and the European public generally, but where's their news media on this? You know, it's just absolutely insane. And to me, since we're on this, let me read just a general or just a couple of statements from Douglas McGregor that'll play right into what you're talking about here, Vinny. This is from General McGregor's Twitter page. I'm not on Twitter because they'd probably kick me off. But at any rate, I'm not on Twitter, but a source in on V. Kontakter from Serbia sends me this stuff. NATO, Douglas McGregor says two things. NATO is a dead man walking, and the EU is crumbling, says Colonel McGregor. The European people do not want to be ruled by Brussels or the globalists in charge. The challenge is getting rid of these people. Can it be done without a revolution? This is Colonel McGregor here. I don't know at this point. Now, let's go to the next one quickly, Vinny, and then we'll discuss it just for a second, and I'm going to try and bring somebody else up here. Let's see here. Let's go on to the next one, if I can get to it. That involves Colonel McGregor. So let's X this guy out. Oh, okay. Let me just briefly get to this other statement of Colonel McGregor's, and then we will have Vinny respond to a question I'm going to ask him, and then we'll get the other caller in on it. Here is Douglas McGregor, Colonel McGregor. In all honesty, he says, I don't believe that there is a chance for a deal with Russia and Ukraine at this point. If you're Zelensky, the worst thing that could happen to you is for troops to come home. They're likely going to find him and kill him. This is word for word, Douglas McGregor. If he ends the war, he's the target. The lives lost in the battlefield, the colonel reminds us, exceed 1 million, and the wounded are 1.5 to 2 times that number. Vinny, I'll ask you this question, and I'll bring in the next caller. Do you think it's going to take an armed revolution in Europe and the United States to actually get rid of these lunatics, or is it possible? Do you think it could happen? Where are we on this? Do we just sit there passively twiddling our thumbs while these guys play around with our lives? What's your thought?
Well, the idea of an attempt on Putin to assassinate Putin would only bring in Medvedev and the other people and the other Russians who are much more hardliner. It would be like bringing in Octavian and Mark Antony to clean house, except they'll be 10 times tougher. And Trump is putting himself in a hell of a position. If he knew about this assassination attempt against Putin, that's ground for him to be impeached. If he didn't know about it, then he should go immediately in front of the American people, and he should tell them that we have a deep state problem. I need to fire these people in the CIA, these people in the Pentagon. You know, I need to ask about anybody in the Senate Intelligence Committee who knew about this. Those people should all be taken action against. He should call in Justice Roberts and say, you know, and ambush him and say, look, I got a severe constitutional crisis. You're either with me or you're not. If you're not with me, you should consider resigning. That's how serious the problem is, I think.
Yeah, I do. I think so, too, Vinny. Both as it relates to this lunatic Mertz in our queer boyfriend Starmer and Macron, and anything that they're dreaming up to drag the United States and the EU and NATO into a wider conflict. This whole thing needs to be nipped in the bud now. And then, of course, before I take the next caller, I'd simply remind you, Vinny, of what you already know, and that is we still have the problem of Mr. Netanyahu and what he might be dreaming up in order to drag the United States into a catastrophic war with Iran that is immoral, that is illegal, and that, like this other situation with Mertz, is clearly crazy. Vinny, thanks for calling. I got to take another caller. You call me back next week.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, buddy. We have Murr Bailey from Wisconsin, if I'm pronouncing the first name correctly. You're on with Mark Gankoff. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, that's an acronym of my initials. It's what I go by.
Oh, okay. Minor M-E-D. You're M-E-R. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, every time I hear MERS and all these other, I'm like, oh, that's not me. I've heard MER for so long now. But what I wanted to tell you, I saw your email address on your page there on RBN, so I sent an article to you. I just want to be sure you see it. It's about Germany being a vassal. There was a secret treaty in 1949, and it goes for 150 years. And so we're into the 76th year of U.S. Gollum for Israel and the Jews is basically running Germany. And, they're occupied. We have, 22 or more bases there where people are now raising second or third generation?
Yes.
So, you know,
my dad, my dad, Murr, was involved in a lot of this because he spoke German and he was involved. He was an American Army Air Corps officer. And then, of course, he came over to the U.S. Air Force in 1947. But he was in Germany for 4 or 5 years after World War II and had a background in the American OSS. And this whole issue of the relationship between the United States and Germany was something that he knew a lot about, even in those days as a relatively junior officer. And interestingly enough, I don't think that he could possibly have envisioned what General Marshall did, and that is the degree to which this American relationship with the Zionist state would be ultimately catastrophic. And I don't think my dad could possibly have envisioned a world in which a country like Germany would have been led by someone like Friedrich Merz, or you would have all of these crazies in the American and European governments advocating policies that are virtually guaranteed to bring about a war. I mean, I don't know what your reaction is to all of this, but I question the sanity of these people.
Exactly. I mean, and if you zoom out, you can see over time that there's something going on with Germany, and it's rumored that they are the real tribe of Judah. And that's why they have to be squashed. I mean, they have the most innovative, they get the most patents of any one country in particular, or did. Now, of course, that's kept from them. But they make them make submarines for them. And if you remember, they're in Hawaii a few years back and then over off the coast of Korea, that alarms went off. And ironically, the Israelis had just taken their order of 2 small subs. And we didn't hear any more about any of that. So I kind of think they got put on the bottom of the drink. So they're always trying to kick off a hot war, and
yes,
they overreach.
And, Yeah, exactly. Both overreach and, of course, something I know that you'd be familiar with, and that is the whole issue of the so-called false flag. I mean, you know, just about every morning I wake up and find myself thinking, well, I'll pick up my charged smartphone and see what has happened in the handful of hours since I've been asleep, where I'm just waiting for the usual suspects to pull off something to drag us into this circumstance with Putin and Ukraine, and also in the circumstance with Iran and Netanyahu. And then, of course, when these nuts start adding a potential conflict with China into the mix, to me, it's just a surreal world. My dad was a part of the American Cold War national security establishment for all of his life, and I just can't, you know, the type of person he was, and he was rational. He had regard for human life. He was not interested in America taking over the world. I don't think he would have recognized the place. I said the other day to someone,
I don't think
that
he would have recognized. Wouldn't recognize this place either. Who would have ever?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, never in my worst nightmares did I dream parents would be carving up their children's genitals.
Well, yeah, exactly. This whole thing with the transgender ideology and LGBTQ and all the rest of it. I posted something on my V Contacta social media page, which runs these roadmaps for this show, and it was from Judicial Watch, if you're familiar with them. Defense Department records show the United States Air Force hosted quote-unquote drag story time and other quote-unquote drag events. This is the United States.
I accidentally somehow get mail from Modern Military, and that's what it's all about, pride and stuff. So,
yeah.
But thank you for taking my call. Thank
you. Look forward to talking with you again, Mayor. God bless you in Wisconsin. Well, thank you, folks, for joining Mark Dankoff in the Dankoff Report on the Republic Broadcasting Network on this Friday, May 30th, from San Antonio, Texas. We didn't get a chance to cover Martin Jay's article. Is the British press protecting Sir Keir Starmer over Firebore? It's interesting. Keir seems to know some guys in the male prostitute community there in the UK. That this is a story I'll add to the roadmap just so that you can throw up at your leisure. In the meantime, folks, keep an eye on these events. And we'll see where God takes us in the days ahead. See you next week.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.